tonight. I'm going to get the men, amen. But after last Sunday night, so don't worry about that. We will cover them husbands. So you husbands, don't lay out next Sunday night, amen. Just come with steel-toed boots on and ready for whatever the Lord has, amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'll read one verse, and that's verse 13, and then we'll pray. But I do share the same things that preacher did when he got up here, thanking everybody for what you do. To me, it's embarrassing whenever people give me stuff, send me stuff, and all that. I'm not used to that the way I grew up, but I really do appreciate it, and I am thankful. If you send me a card, many of you do send me cards. We hang them up in our office at the shop and all that, so I really do appreciate it, and my family thanks you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 13, the Bible says this, "And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the singing that's been done this morning about how much we love you, Lord, and about your sweet, precious name, Jesus, Lord, and what a comfort it brings to our heart, what a comfort it brings to us knowing if we know you as our personal Lord and Savior, where this thing ends up. Lord, we just thank you for loving us. We thank you for this Christmas season, Lord. And Lord, I pray most of all, somebody in here this morning don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of their salvation. Lord, I pray for our families in here. I pray for strength, Lord, that you would send to help us to be the strongest families in East Ridge, to be the strongest families in our community, Lord, that others might see that and want to be saved as well, that we bring honor and glory to you with our lives, with our families, with our marriages, Lord. Thank you for Sister Anna and Brother Bill's celebration tonight of 25 years, Lord. We thank you for that. And Lord, we just give you the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. And like I said, we've been preaching on Sunday nights about the family and marriage. And this morning, I'm going to try to tie or preach about what the glue is that holds it all together. And I know we got things that we read, the scripture that we read about how wives should act and how husbands should act and all that stuff. But this pertains whole family of God, everybody, and every family, when we were talking about charity, you're talking about love. And what holds the family together, without a doubt, is learning how to love each other. Amen. I tell you, I was telling my Sunday school class this morning, and as we were talking, is one of the things that, and I've mentioned this before, and I don't mention it to be stubborn or to be a hindrance or whatever, but I honestly, to goodness, did not really know that much about loving somebody when I first got saved. I didn't grow up in a family like that. I didn't grow up where everybody hugged each other and told each other they loved them before they went out the door and all that kind of stuff. It just wasn't that way when I grew up. The best love I know of was the switch on the back of the rear end because I got in so much trouble. And let me tell you something, that is love too. Amen. The Bible says if you go without chastening, then you don't belong to the Lord. Amen. So at least I knew I belonged to my Nana and all them. Amen. Because they wore my backside out all the time. But one of the things that we have to understand is we have to learn how to love one another. When I got saved, it took me a couple of years before I started realizing that God had begun to change my heart. God had begun to work on the inside to where I actually, instead of just looking at people as whatever you want to call it, I began to start looking at people as individuals, that they were actually somebody, that they had feelings, and that they were a person in that side, that body. And it took me a while to learn that. It didn't come natural for me, but I'm telling you, if you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have Him down in your heart and you follow after Him, we will teach you how to love one another. Amen. We know that for a fact as a promise, because in 1 John, the Bible tells us that if we do not love one another, then the love of God is not inside us. Amen. And that's scripture. That's just a warm up just to get you in the right place here this morning. But love, it has to be sometimes in our lives a learned thing. As we talk about the Christmas season right now and what everything is based on is God's love. If you think about the Bible, John 3:16 says what? "For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, y'all know the rest of it, but I want to stop right there for just a minute. But this Christmas season that we celebrate is more than just looking at baby Jesus being born. It's more than just the lights that we look at and the songs that we sing and all that. But John 3:16 is actually being a reality. What we look at when we read that verse, "For God so loved the world." Do you know that, brother, this morning? You understand that God loved you no matter what. He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. When we look at this manger scene and we think about this baby and we see it on the TV and our Christmas parade was about it and all that stuff, about this baby Jesus coming, was more than just a time to give gifts to one another, a time to have more fellowships, which I enjoy, amen. But it was a time to see what God actually said come true. For God so loved the world that He gave. Now, when we think about Jesus and we think about His life, Brother Paul, it didn't last right there in that manger. That baby grew, and I seen that little six-month-old girl back there. That little girl ain't going to be like that forever, amen. Before, I told a man in the store yesterday, we were sitting there talking, I was talking about the Christmas season, and he said, "It's special for me," he said, "because I've got a two-year-old daughter, and I'm so excited about it." And I said, "Buddy," I said, "don't blink your eyes too many times," I said, "because they'll be grown just like that." But baby Jesus, we see this and we sing about this, and we sang those songs this morning about Jesus and away in a manger and all those different songs, "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and all those things. But the reality is Jesus Himself so loved the Father. And not only that, but Jesus in turn became, and if you read the book of John, began to love, and He loved His disciples. Amen. And not only the love that He had, but He says, "I call you my friends." Boy, to think about, you go from that right there, the baby Jesus, to the point where Jesus Christ becomes your friend. Amen. I'm glad He's my friend this morning, amen. I'm glad that my faith and trust is in Jesus Christ. I'm glad that He lives inside of me and taught me how to love one another. I'm glad that He taught me how to love myself, amen. A lot of people live their whole life never loving themselves. They look in the mirror, they look at the what their life has become and all of that kind of stuff, and never learn to love themselves. I'll tell you, when I got saved, God taught me how to love myself. Amen. To realize that I am His creation. Amen. That He saved me. He created me and created me for Himself. And God began to work that love inside of me, started to teach me how to love. And if you look here about John 3:16, and we learn about God's love, not only is it an emotion, the word love, an emotion that we have, but it also causes a reaction in our lives. You know, it'd been one thing if God just looked down at all of us and He said, "Yeah, I love y'all. Yeah, I really love y'all a lot," and all that, and then just walked out the door. "Hope you make it. Hope everything turns out all right. I hope everything happens." But when God said, I love you," and He looked down at the world and He said, "I so much love the world," it caused a reaction in His life. That reaction was Jesus Christ. Amen. Sending Jesus Christ to save us. And when you read the Scriptures, He said, "I come to seek and to save that which was lost." You say, "Well, how do we get there with all that?" I want you to think for just a minute about the love and what God does in the heart of somebody. The greatest example I have of that is Peter in the Bible. We know about Jesus Christ, but I really believe if you read the Scripture and you study the Scripture, I believe, preacher, with all my heart, that Peter really loved Jesus Christ. I believe that Peter had one of those special kind of loves. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, sure, we all love one another. And Devin, I hope you don't get upset for me using this as an example this morning, but you know, I would die for my wife. You ever heard somebody say, "Well, I would die for this person or that person"? I would take a bullet for my wife. I would die for my wife. I would jump in front of a car for my wife because I love her that much. I mean, she is everything to me. She is my helpmeet. She's every, and I would die for her. Because I love her that much. Now, I love Devin too. We all know Devin, right? We all know him. But I tell you what, I don't know if I'd take a bullet for him. I don't know if I'd jump in front of a car for him. But I love him, right? You see the difference in love when we talk about loving one another? There's different levels of love, right? I mean, there's that level of love that we would die for somebody like Jesus Christ did for us. And then there's that level of love where we just, you know, if you need some help, we'll help you out. Amen. Because we love you. But I believe with all my heart that Peter had that kind of love. Matter of fact, he even said it in John chapter 13. He told Jesus, he said, "I'll lay down my life for you, Jesus." Amen. He had that kind of love. If you think about Peter's life for a minute, and I do, remember when it was time when Jesus come out there on the water and there was a storm going on and the waves were blowing and all that stuff. See, we read that story about all that that happened, but we don't really think about what was really going on. I mean, they were out there in the middle of the sea and all the water was coming and the wind was blowing, but we don't read about any of that till the story's over. What did Peter want to do as soon as he seen Jesus? He just wanted to be with Jesus. He didn't care whether the storms were blowing. He didn't care whether the waves were high. He didn't care about anything that was going on in his life. All he wanted to do was be with Jesus. Well, you know where a lot of Christians are today? They want to be with Jesus as long as it don't cause no turmoil in their life. Amen? They want to be with Jesus as long as it's beneficial to them. But if it's going to cause some kind of storm in their life, they ain't all for it. Peter had that kind of love for Jesus when we read there in Matthew 14:28. It says, "And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." I'm telling you, Peter didn't care what was going on. He didn't care whether the storm was there or not. He wanted to be with Jesus because he loved him that way that it didn't matter in life. Amen. What a benefit it would be to us if we ever learned to love Jesus like that, amen? That it wouldn't matter what the world had to say about it. It wouldn't matter what our friends had to say about it at school or anything else. It didn't matter what our spouse had to say to about it. If Jesus said come, we just come to him, amen? That's the kind of love that he wants us to have in our heart, and Peter definitely have that. In Matthew 16:21, the Bible says, "From that time forth, began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." Let me ask you something. Have you ever loved somebody so much? Have you ever loved somebody so much that when they got sick or something happened to them or somebody wanted to hurt them, you wanted to protect them? Amen. Ever had that kind of love in your life? You ever experienced that kind of love? Amen. I mean, somebody say something. I'm telling you, you say something against my wife, it's on, buddy. Amen. But I'm telling you, here Jesus has started to tell Peter and his disciples what's fixing to happen to him. I mean, he's saying, hey, this has got to come to pass. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to go. These people are going to be against me. They're going to betray me. All these things are going to happen. And Peter, just to demonstrate the love that he had in his heart, he said after Jesus said that, he says, "Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." I mean, Peter was getting upset, right? He's like, "Jesus, please don't talk like that. What is wrong with you? Don't say those sort of things. I don't want to be away from you. I don't want to lose you." Boy, what a dying love he had for the Savior, amen? Not wanting to be separated from the love that he had for Jesus Christ. I think on about Peter and all the things that he did in Matthew 16. He was just upset to think about Jesus even being hurt and killed. Boy, I'm telling you, he really loved Jesus Christ. Not only that, but and I'm trying to get you somewhere here talking about love, and I'll do what preacher says sometimes. We'll get to the message in a minute. Amen. But Peter, remember when the chief priest's servant came and they were going to take Jesus and all that stuff? and they were fixing to take him away and all that, what did Peter do? He pulled out his sword and cut that servant's ear right off, right? He had a protection for Jesus Christ. You know, that's the example of what love does in our life and the example and the actions that happen. And Peter shows us that, the love that he had for the Savior, that he would protect him and he wanted to be everywhere that Jesus wanted to be. And he wanted to experience everything with Jesus that there was to experience. He wanted all that. But not only that, but sometimes our actions are not right. Amen. If you think just a little bit more about Peter's life, and I believe you understand without a shadow of a doubt that Peter loved Jesus Christ. Amen. And sometimes even when we love somebody that much and we care about somebody that much, sometimes our actions aren't exactly the way they ought to be. Sometimes some of the things we say are very hurtful and not the things that we should say. Right after those things happened, Jesus said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. That made Peter upset. He said, no, that is not going to happen. There's no way that's going to happen. But did it happen? Peter did it three times. And here's the thing about it, though, Sister Tammy. If we don't have love in our heart and we don't love one another like we're supposed to, then we could do something against somebody. We could hurt somebody's feelings. We could react the wrong way and all that. But I'm going to tell you something, Brother Gilbert. There'll be no sorrow in our heart for that. If you'll read in all the Gospels of that happened in Peter, when Peter did that in every Gospel, if you'll read every one of them, it says after Peter did that and he realized what he did and he heard that cock crow, it says he wept bitterly. He was so sorry for what he had done. He was so sorry for his actions and all that because he loved Jesus Christ that much. You understand what I'm saying? Trying to get to the family and trying to help you here a little bit. Sometimes we make mistakes even though we love somebody. Amen. Sometimes we say things that are hurtful even though we love one another. Sometimes it just slips out and we don't mean to. When it comes to marriage, we have to learn to love one another. You say, well, I loved my husband when I got married. I loved my wife when I first... Let me give you an illustration of this. And I've used this in the years past. And I'll use it again today. I want you to just help me think about this for a minute to get your mind right. One of the things for sure in a man's life, amen, we understand how God created man and woman. Most of the time a man did not get attracted to the woman because he loved her, amen. He got attracted to her because he lusted after her, amen. It caught her, his eye and all that kind of stuff, and he goes, I want to be with her. I don't care what it takes. And people do that, right? They'll go to the other end of the earth to get that lady's attention to make sure that she knows that he exists, right? I'm sure you've experienced that and all you ladies experienced that in here and all that. That guy ain't got no good intentions, amen? Amen. Somebody finally said amen. All he wants is to get your eye on him, amen. We understand that, and what happens is, us foolish guys, we somehow con you women into marrying us. I don't know how. I mean, I look at myself in the mirror and go, how did I win a trophy like that? Amen. And surely, you ladies wake up after that marriage day and go, how did I end up with a trophy like that? Amen. But one of the things that you soon learn, I've been doing the young marriage for a long time. Even before I came here, I teach the young marriage and all that. What you soon learn is after you get married and start living together, things ain't quite like they was when you was dating. You go, what in the world is going on here? Where did that man go that opened the car door for me? Where did that man go that cared about me eating first or me getting my drink first? And boy, when I sat down at the table, he'd run up there and get my iced tea for me. Where did that man go? What happened to him? That guy wakes up and he goes, man, what in the world? I didn't know there was that much paint on the barn until we got married. Amen. Some of y'all get that in a minute. Amen. And we start to realize that all that gushy, mushy feelings and all that stuff we had for each other had a lot more to do with lust than it had to do with love. And then we have to begin how to love one another. You know, when I got saved, I was a heathen. I was 24 years old. I was a drunkard. I was a cusser. I was a sailor. Amen. And you, all them movies about sailors is true. Amen. All that stuff that goes on is true. We bad people, you know, not in the good way, the bad people, right? And all that kind of stuff and everything else. And when I got saved, I didn't know more than know anything except the fact that I was going to bust hell wide open if I didn't get saved. I mean, that's the fear that I had in my heart. That's what I knew. And the only other thing that I knew is my grandma had told me my whole life that Jesus loved me. Remember those little songs that we learned? I get mad at these teenagers. Boy, they get me upset sometimes when they can't sing Jesus Loves Me anymore. Amen. I'm telling you, when you get so mature that you can't see Jesus loves me no more, you've missed the whole thing. Amen. I'm telling you, I'm 44 years old, and there's some times when I'm in the shop and everything's going wrong, I stop and sing Jesus Loves Me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Amen. Because the world sure ain't showing me that Jesus loves me. I'm not feeling it. Amen. So sometimes I have to stop and just sing that to myself. Jesus loves me, this I know. Hey, when I first got saved, my grandmother had told me my whole life that Jesus loved me. Only reason why I knew that Jesus would save me, Brother Gilbert, is the fact that my Holy Spirit was dealing with my heart and that my grandmother told me how much Jesus loved me. You know, it had nothing to do with how much I loved Him when I got saved. Nothing. I mean, when He saved me, He says, I love you so much that if you'll just believe in me, I'll take care of the rest of it. Amen. I didn't know how to love Him. I didn't know what love was, Brother Paul, in my heart. I didn't know how to show the love that I had or any of that stuff. But you know what happened over a period of time? The storms of life started coming. The things of life started coming. And me and Jesus walked through those things together. Amen. I wasn't by myself anymore when the storms came. Jesus said, I'm going to help you through this. Jesus said, I'm going to help you get through this storm. I'm going to help you get to the other side. Amen. Just like He did Peter when He took him by the hand and raised him up out of all the storm that was going on around him. Amen. And Peter's love grew for him. So has my love grown for the Lord Jesus Christ. When I first got saved, I didn't know nothing about loving the Lord. I didn't even know how to love the Lord. I didn't know how to dress right to love the Lord. I didn't even know how to talk right to love the Lord. I didn't know how to pray right to love the Lord. I didn't know any of that stuff. I'll tell you something. When you first got married, there's a lot of things you didn't know about love either. See, love is one of those things that we learn as we mature in life, as we grow together. I want you to get something out of your mind. If you're married in here this morning or you're dating or any of that stuff, there's something that you need to get out of your mind. Marriage is not a trial and error thing. Amen. 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 Marriage is a permanent thing. Marriage is something that you say to one another that says through sickness, through death, through good times, bad times, whatever that whole saying is. Amen. It's forever. It's for every day. It's not, well, if things are going good today, we'll stay together, but if they're not tomorrow, we're out of here. That is not what love is. That is not learning to love one another. Learning to love one another is when the kid gets sick. Huh. Yeah. When you husbands ain't going to get to be in there with your wife for a week or two because the kids are sick. Or because the mama got sick and somebody's got to go take care of them. Or because there's financial pressure and things are going on. And you learn to love one another through all those things in life. It's not time to turn and run, amen. It's not time to bail out like everybody teaches you to do that today, amen. Hey, you know why it's a big deal that we're celebrating a 25-year anniversary tonight? It's rare. It's very rare that anybody makes it that far. We got this intent when we go into a marriage today. These kids are thinking, well, if it don't work out, I'll just get out. What is up with the way that we are? What if Jesus Christ was that way? That would be bad because He would have bailed on me a long time ago, amen. If He said, well, I'm going to save you today, and if you do everything right and act right, then we'll stay together. Jesus forgives me in every single day of my life. Every day, this morning I couldn't sleep, and I got up at 5:30 this morning. I went in the living room by myself and sat down in the chair, and I just started talking to the Lord. You know what I told Him? I said, Lord, why do You love me like You love me? Why do You care for me like You care for me? I'm sorry, I'm a sinner, and I'm all these different things, but yet You're always there. At 5:30 this morning, He was there to talk to. Amen. At 5:30 this afternoon, He'll be there to talk to. Amen. The Lord is always there, whether I'm having a good day or a bad day. That's when we start to love one another. Amen. I know my great personality and charm, you know, keeps you loving me every time I come in the door. Amen. I told my Sunday school class, I said, I can't believe they didn't can me 3 years ago. Amen. I'm surprised my wife hasn't canned me. Amen. But I'm telling you, that's when we learn to love one another. Now, I did all that to get to chapter 13, and I'll go quickly just so you know. Don't get all worried that we're going to miss our meal this afternoon. We're not going to miss anything. But if you'll turn to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, where I started out from, let me go through this real quick because it's important. Listen, if you got a spouse next to you, you got a spouse, you're married and all that stuff, you need to learn how to love one another. There's every one of us in here has to learn. Every one of us in here needs learning. Amen. Needs knowledge. Needs all that stuff. 1 Corinthians 13 explains the importance of love and how love behaves when it is in your heart. Look at the importance of it in verse 13, 1 through 3. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. That's pretty strong words right there. You know, a preacher that stands in a pulpit and don't love his people, he's nothing.
Amen.
That's the truth. That's what he's talking about here in that verse, I believe. You can be the finest preacher. You can preach the greatest messages. You can do all that kind of stuff. But if you don't love your people, the Bible says you're nothing. Verse 3 there says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now look in verse 4, and I'll go quickly here, 4 through 8. That shows us the importance of love, and then 4 through 8 shows us how love behaves itself. You know, time helps us to understand love. Kids don't understand how much a parent loves them when they're growing up. I know there's some sorry parents out there. That's the truth. I had a sorry daddy. He's gone, done. And some of you grew up with some sorry parents and all that stuff, but that ain't the way God designed it, amen? God designed it that a parent should love their children and take care of their children and help their children and all that stuff. But the sad part is most children never understand that until they're adults. And I remember somewhere in my 20s, I don't know where, somewhere in that journey, somewhere in my 20s, I realized that my papaw wasn't the meanest man on earth. Yeah, when I grew up, he beat the far out of me every time I turned around. I mean, I don't understand why when you bust all the windows out of the house, you got to have a beating. I don't understand why when you hit your brother with a baseball bat and a hat, you got to get a beating. I didn't understand why, you know, you tore the yard up with your bicycles and did all that stuff, you should get a whipping every time you turn around. Or every time this happened or that happened, you should get a whipping. But somewhere in my 20s, I began to realize how much my grandfather loved me. When I started realizing that he was training me for life and that he was helping me through the things of life and he was trying to teach me how to be a man, amen? How to grow up and take a whooping, amen? How to stand up for my family, amen? I mean, nobody touched us boys, me and my brother, that they didn't go through my papaw. I didn't see all that when I was growing up. I didn't understand all that when I was growing up. But somewhere in my 20s, I began to realize how much my grandfather loved me. You know, what I pray for the family and the marriages is that, you know, as you're working through all this stuff and you're going through the trials and all that stuff, that somewhere in there, 5, 7 years, 8 years, however long it takes, you look at your spouse and you go, you really do love me. Amen?
Yeah.
That it's not just words, but you mean it. You know, when that comes along is when you develop these characteristics that's in chapter 13 and verse 4. Look at just a couple of them and then I'll close. Chapter 4, or 13, 4 says, charity suffereth long and is what? Kind. You know, I think that's the hardest thing for young people to understand. To win a battle in your marriage is to love and be kind. When I want something from my wife, the best way to get it is to be kind. You know, did I do that 10 years ago? Probably not. Have I learned that over the years? Yes, I have. I realize that if I talk to my wife in a softer and a more gentle voice and a kinder voice and all that kind of stuff, it gets me a lot further. My wife said I should quit talking about how good she is all the time. I got in trouble after last Sunday night. She says it embarrasses her. She ain't in here right now. Let me tell you what kindness does for you. I try to get the young people to understand this. You older people know that, Brother Jim, and you know you old people understand this. This morning, I got up that early and I was studying my Bible and I was writing and studying and all that stuff and I'm sitting there by myself and I'd done finished up my cup of coffee. Well, I was pretty comfortable, Brother Paul. I was sitting there in my chair, had my little thing over my feet. I was comfortable. Well, when I finally find a comfortable spot like that, I'd just rather stay comfortable than get up and get another cup of coffee. Amen? Now this takes time. Don't think this is going to happen tomorrow if you just got married. Amen? This takes time. My wife gets up. She's tired, wore out, everything else. She stayed up half the night getting all these kids' clothes ready for church and all that stuff and everything else, make sure my stuff was ready and all that. She gets up, and before she makes her cup of coffee, before she gets her anything to drink, she comes over and she looks at me. She says, honey, can I get you another cup of coffee? That's what kindness does. Instead of talking down to your wife all the time or browbeating your wife all the time or telling her that she don't do this and she's lazy and she won't do that and all that. I know this is for next Sunday night, but we just got to get in there a little bit. Some of these men won't come back Sunday night. But the Bible says that charity is kind and suffereth long. You see that in that verse? That means that when some little thing comes up, you suffer through it together. When some little trial comes up in your life, you don't say, well, when it's all over, let me know. You walk through that thing together. I've never understood a couple that don't try to go through things together. When your spouse's parents get sick, that's a together thing.
Amen, sure.
That's not an individual thing. My mama is very difficult, and I can say this since she's not here this morning. And she'll never listen to the tape, so I'll be all right. But my mother is very difficult, very stubborn, very one way about everything and all that. I looked at my wife the other day after talking to my mother for a while, and I looked at her and I says, honey, I said, I'm pretty sure you realize this, but my sister can't even take care of herself, much less take care of mom. And I said, my brother can't take care of himself because mom takes care of him, because he's 43 years old and lives at home. And I said, you realize one day we're going to have to take care of mom. And she said, that's what we're supposed to do together. Charity suffereth long and charity suffereth together. Amen. And it's kind. Look, let's go on for the sake of time. It says in verse 5, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Can I tell you something? Your spouse is not your enemy. Amen. Quit thinking of your spouse as your enemy. The devil is the enemy. Satan is the enemy. He's the one that wants to break you up. He's the one that wants to end your marriage. He's the one that doesn't want you to be happy and all that stuff. It's not your spouse. Amen. Remember that. Verse 6, rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Now, verse 7, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and look, endureth all things. For sake of time, I'm going to close with that and just say again, just saying what I've already said, but say it again, is that marriage is not a trial effort. One of the things that preacher says all the times is he says marriage is honorable. God believes in marriage. God believes in staying together. If it wasn't like that, God would have never taught us in our hearts how to love one another.
Amen.
And that's what we're to do, is to love one another and figure this thing out as we go along in life, that we don't jump ship just because things ain't going right. Now I'm going to leave that on this note. It's the same way in church, amen.
Yeah.
It's the same way with you and I as
yeah.
a church family.
Yeah.
That we are to love one another, that we are to endure together, amen. That we are to do all that stuff. And then verse 8 says what? Charity never faileth. You know what I realized in my life? When you hate people, that fails. When you're not nice to people, that usually bites you in the face. When you think revenge is the answer, that usually comes back and turns on you.
Yeah.
But one thing that God says is that love
never fails.
Never
Amen.
Fails.
Amen.
I ain't got time to go into everything under the sun. But when you got an enemy, what does it say to do? Love them and pray for them. One of the things that Satan would love to happen is to break that marriage up, to break that marriage up, to break that marriage up, to break that marriage up. That's what he wants to do. Because when he can start doing that, and he starts breaking all these marriages up and tearing marriages up, and he teaches you to hate each other instead of love each other, and all that stuff starts happening, you know what happens to this place?
Falls apart.
And the doors close. All over America. I think Marcos is the one that said it on Wednesday night. For some reason, we were talking about certain things. Cayman and Marcos is making comment about that, but the divorce rate in America, how huge it is. Huge. Phenomenal. And if you look at that rate, and you look at the rate of churches closing, it goes hand in hand. Because that is the whole plan. If he can tear the home apart, he can tear the church apart.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Sure.
Let's pray. God talk.